In the beginning of Parshas Tazria, we have the dinim of Tumas Yoledes, and the Mishnah in Maseches Nida, the beginning of Perek Yotze Doifen, quotes a Machlokes HaTanoim, Machlokes Reb Shimon and Achachamim. Reb Shimon is Reb Shimon Bayuchoy. Machlokes Reb Shimon and Achachamim, whether the din of Tumas Yoledes only applies if the baby was born naturally, or even if it's a Yotze Doifen, if it's a cesarean delivery. So we paskan against Reb Shimon that whenever it's a Yotze Doifen, you don't have, you make Tumah V'Tara. You'll have, she'll be Anida, there'll be Dam Anida, but the dinam of the Yimeituma, 7 days, 14 days, and the 33 days, and the 60, Yimeitohar, this you don't have. The poskim say la halacha, not only when there's a cesarean delivery where the baby doesn't come out derech harechem, even if the baby does come out derech harechem, but the rechem didn't push it out with natural forces. Let's say it's a difficult delivery, so the doctor cuts a little bit on both sides, and then he puts his hands inside the rechem and he takes out the baby. So if the rechem didn't push out the baby, the doctor takes it out with his hands, that's also called Yotze Doifen. Some poskim had a chiddush that not only is that Yotze Doifen, what if they inject a chemical into the blood system that induces labor? So some were of the opinion, that was Rav Henkin held like that, that that's also, the rechem didn't push out the baby on its own, he needed the chemical. But that has not been accepted. We assume la halacha that once you put in the chemical, then the rechem functions normally. The rechem is pushing out the baby, then it's a regular leida. The Gemara in the beginning of Perek Avleza, the Milam, Masechah Shabbos, the 24 prokim, the Meforshim write the Malach HaShleima on the opening Mishnah, and Shabbos writes that in the days of Tanakh, the Akala who would be getting married would wear 24 pieces of jewelry. So because Shabbos is always referred to as Akala, Boichala, Boichala, so that's by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who edited the Mishnah, he's arranged it in such a way there should be 24 prokim in Masech HaShabbos. These are the 24 tachshitim of the Akala. So there's a whole parak about Rav Lez and the Mila, the Dinam of Bris Mila. They give you all the dinim of Mila on Shabbos, but it has all the dinim in general. Most of the dinim of Hilchos Mila appear there on Masech Shabbos and Perek Ablaza de Mila. So the Gemara in the beginning of the Perek has a machlokes amaraim. The Pasuk says in Parshas Tazria, B'yam Shmini Yimol B'sar Olosai, this already says in the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah of Mila. It was told B'yam HaShmini Yimol, there's a din of Mila B'zmana. So the Torah Kanim says the reason why it's repeated here is to teach us the din that the Mila B'zmana is Dech HaShabbos, that you need Shmini, he says already in Lech Lecha, and it's written here to teach me that it's that is Dech HaShabbos. So the Amoraim have a machlokes in the beginning of Perek HaBlaz in the Mila. Maybe that's only when ima tmei oleda. What if it's ein ima tmei oleda? Let's say it was a cesarean delivery, or not cesarean. The doctor had a cut, and then he put it in his hands, and he took out the baby. So that's a machlekes, and based on the kolali hapsak, we treat that like a sveka dedina. So we would go lachumra. So let's say if there was a cesarean delivery on a Wednesday. So next week, we wouldn't do the bris mila right away, because maybe you do need shmini. So we would wait till next Wednesday. But if the cesarean delivery was on Shabbos, then we wouldn't do the bris mila on Shabbos. We would do it after Shabbos. Wouldn't do it before. If it would be avadai, according to the one opinion, that whenever ein ima tmei leida, ein anima lishmani, there's no need of shmini, then you would do the bris mila the same day the baby is born. You wouldn't have to wait till the eighth day, but because it's a sveka dedina, that's why we wouldn't do the bris within the first 7 days. And if the eighth day is Shabbos, we would postpone the bris till the ninth day. The Pesach Chuvin Yeridaya quotes from the Nadi Behuda that what if there's a mila shaloi bismana on Yom Tov Sheni Shal Golias? So that's there is a Mishnah in Perek Ablezer de Mila.
Awesome. Wireless caller.
Hello.
There's a Mishnah in Perek Ablezer de Mila that's repeated in Maseches Erechin, that if there's a milu shaloi bismana on the second day Rosh Hashanah, that it's not deichem. So there's a machlik is the Rosh and the Rambam. The second day Rosh Hashanah is more common than any other Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath. We say that the 2 days Rosh Hashanah Yom Arichta is Kedusha Achas. And a lot of the kulas that you have on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath and Chutz Lord, you don't have on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah. So that's a question. Maybe the Mishnah only says Milush Labizmana is not Decha second day Rosh Hashanah. But maybe second day Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath, maybe it is Decha. Or maybe no, maybe the reason why the Mishnah wrote Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah, because in Eretz Yisrael, the Mishnayos were edited by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who lived in Eretz, they didn't have any Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath. In Eretz Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah, they always had. Even in Eretz they had. So that's a machlokes. So we usually do not do a Milush Labizmana on any Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath. But the Nadi Behuda says in this case, let's say the baby was born a week before, but it was a cesarean delivery. So if you do the Milo Bishmini, it'll be on Tavsheni Shal Golis. Nadi Behuda is Mekel based on a Svek Svek. Maybe the din is like the Rambam, that any on Tavsheni Shal Golis, he always permitted to do a Milo Shaloi Bismana. And even if the din is like the Rosh, then in a normal on Tavsheni Shal Golis, you're not allowed to do a Milo Shaloi Bismana. Maybe Einimat Me'el Eda, maybe the cesarean delivery. Is imat that's the sfeik of the dinner, whether you need shmini. So maybe the dinner is that you do need shmini. So therefore, it should be decha Shabbos also. So he holds that that's a sfeik sfeik. Or the same thing, it would be a sfeik sfeik. Let's say the baby was born bein hashmashes. Baby was born, let's say, chveis yom tov sheni shel goliath is going to be next week on Wednesday. Baby was born in between Tuesday and Wednesday, a week before bein hashmashes in between Tuesday and Wednesday. So you can't do the bris milah next week on Tuesday. Maybe it's toch shma, maybe it's toch shiva. Maybe the leida ben hashmash is sveka di yoma. So maybe ben hashmash is really Wednesday. So you can't do the bris on Tuesday. Then you can't do the bris on Wednesday. You shouldn't be able to do the bris on Wednesday either if it's yontif, because it's a suffix milah bizman. Maybe the baby was born on Tuesday. Maybe Ben Hashmash is Kiyom, and it's Al Pidin, the Shmini should have been Tuesday. But if, so even if the Yabashmini is Tuesday, and Wednesday, the second of the Yontav, is Milush Leib, is Mano, so the Nadi Behuda says in the Tshuva that we would be Mekel with a Svek Sveke. Maybe Ben Hashmash is Laila, so it is a Milu Bismana, and even if it's Milush Leib, is Mano, maybe the din is like the Ramam, that Milush Leib, is Mano, is Doche Yontav Shein Shol Goliath. Shalos, what about if the baby was born? What if it's the second day of Rosh Hashanah? So then you don't have such a svek svek. So that's a question. That's a deal in Achrayim. Second day of Rosh Hashanah, Milush Labizman is not Becha. For sure, that's a Mishnah. So that's a discussion whether there's room to be made on Yom Tov Sheni or not. This did is that a Mila Bismana is Deicha Shabbos. Tosis asks Akasha and Megillah in the first parak of Megillah. We don't allow Mikra Megillah on Shabbos. Mishum Gzeira de Rabbi Shem, Yabaran Adalar Amos, Bishus Arabim. So why shouldn't we be concerned by Bris Mila? Also, Shem Yabaran, maybe the Moel will forget and carry his knife, or maybe they'll carry the baby to the shul to have the Bris Mila in the shul. So why do we allow, if you don't allow Tkiyah Shef, you don't allow Netilah Slul, if you don't allow Mikra Megillah, Shem Yabarena, why are we not concerned over him? So the Rishonim give 6 different answers. The Me'iri in the first parak in Megillah quotes all of the 6 answers, one after the other. So one of the famous answers is that the Loshon HaGemara is HaKol Chayovim B'Mikra Megillah B'Ein HaKol Bikim in Mikra Megillah HaKol Chayovim B'Tkir Shofar HaKol Chayovim in Tila Slulav B'Ein HaKol Bikim. So because HaKol Chayovim, everybody is Mechuyiv to do it, so for sure there are Jews who live all over the world, so for sure they're going to be 100 people are going to be Mechal Shabbos by mistake. But if it's only a Bris Milah, where every person has a Bris Milah, there are a couple of 100 people all over the world have a Bris Milah today. Any given day, the 100 people all over the world have a Bris Milah. but you're not going to say you can't say hakol chayavim. It's not as risky to allow a milah bismana b'shabbos because it's not hakol chayavim. That's what many rishonim say. And the Miri gives another answer. That's one of the six answers. They give different answers. One of the answers that he gives is famous. It's the idea that the Taz develops. Rav David Cohen from Flatbush and Gvul Yavetz put out many, many svarim. They're all extremely valuable. One of the svarim is, the title of one of the svarim is HaTaz HaYadua. The Taz has in three different places in his commentary. In Yerideya and in Orechayim, and I think in Choshe Mishpah, he has in three different places a klal that the Rabbi David Cohen shows. The Achrayim quote a lot. The major machlekes harishayim. Taz comes up with a klal that the Yeshkach be'ar chacham lakadom and ator b'shei b'al tasa. The chacham have authority to tell us not to fulfill a mitzvah. The Torah says when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, you're obligated to blow shofar. The Rabban, they say, they recommend we shouldn't blow shofar. Torah says when b'chayiv to shake a lulav on the first day Sukkos, even if it falls on a Shabbos, but the Rabbanon, they don't allow you to do that. So the Taz quotes from the Bach, from his father-in-law, he asked the Kasha, why didn't they prohibit kir shofar even Rosh Hashanah shechol yes b'chol? After all, a shofar is like a musical instrument. It's a kli hamyuchad lahashmas kol. And mashmiya kol is an isa. You're not allowed to use any musical instruments on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Taz gives the answer that the Chachamim do not have authority to be okay dov men ator whenever it's kenega dov hamafurish bator. Torah says you do blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, so the Chacham cannot prohibit tkiyah shofar, period. They should do it with the whole institution of tkiyah shofar. It never says explicitly in the Chumash that you blow shofar even if it falls out on Shabbos. We understand on our own that tkiyah shofar is a chachma bein a malacha, it's not a malacha. So, of course, it's muta menatara. So, of course, menatara yimuchiv to blow shofar, whether Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Shabbos or on a weekday. But it doesn't say explicitly in the Chumash. So that HaChacham have the right to make Gzeira Keneged a din to be oikadov menatara b'shei b'altase, because not Kenegedov ha-mufurish b'altara, it's not explicit. But if you're going to do away with the whole tkir shofar legame because of the Gzeira of Mashmi HaKol, then it's kenega dovam forish batar, that you can't do. So that's really a beferish and machlokes in the Rishonim. The Gemara has a discussion that after the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Chachamim really wanted to prohibit having children. They wanted to do away with the mitzvah Pirei Rivya. But it's a gzeira shen Rebbe Atzi b'chalam lamed bo, because the people want to have children. People are not going to, years ago they didn't know how to do birth control. And even if they would, the people want to have, they have a desire to have children. So they couldn't make such a gzera. So Tosfos asked the Kasha over there, what do you mean? That in the end of Cheskas Habatim, the last half in Cheskas Habatim. So Tosfos asked the Kasha, how can the Chachamim do away with the mitzvah of Pirei Rivya? It's Mufurish Batar that's a din of Pirei Rivya. Tosfos says, no, means they should have done away with Le'erev al Tanach Yadecha. That's not Mufurish and Chumash. That's all in Koheret, in Kohelis, that it says, after you already have a son and a daughter, you have already fulfilled the mitzvah Pirei Rivya. So there's a mitzvah midibri kabbalah, there's a midas chasidis midibri kabbalah, it's not really a chiyuv, there's a midas chasidis midibri kabbalah to have more children than the basic amount. So that's what Tosfos says. And the Mordechai holds not so. Mordechai holds that the Gemara meant to say they should have done away mamish to be okay the whole mitzvah of Pirei Rivya. It's a mefurish and machlokes in the Mishnah. So Rabbi David Cohen quotes all the Bishayin and all Achrayim who are involved in that machlokes. There are Tesis and all of Bishas who in Hilchus Ribis and another place where Tesis talks about this. Is there such a klal or not? Why should there be such a klal? Why does it make a difference whether it's Kenegad Dova mefurish Bater? So the Pashtus perhaps is the following. The Rambam writes in the Hakdamah to the Pirish HaMishnayis, printed in the end of Maseches Brachas, in the back of Brachas, in a regular Gemara, the Rambam writes, the Mishnayis constitute the Torah Shebal Peh. And what? How many parts are there to the Torah Shebal Peh? So he writes that there are five parts. He says, one part of Torah Shebal Peh is Halacha Moshe Misina, things that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu orally that don't say it all in Chumash. Another part of Torah Shebal Peh, and he says, Halacha Moshe Misina, there aren't so many, and he says he's going to give us the full list. He gives you what he considers the full list. On the bottom of the page, in the regular editions of the Talmud Bavli, they tell you look in the Chavis Yoyer that he has a kasha, that the Rambam only quoted one third. There are three times as many. The Rambam left out two thirds of all the halachas l'Moshe Messina. That's what the Chavis Yoyer is. But that's the Rambam writes the halacha Moshe Messina is Torah Shabbat. Then what else is Torah Shabbat? We have Pirushim Amukubolim l'Moshe Messina. Every language has certain idioms, certain expressions that are not the literal translation of the words. Let's say in English, there are a lot of idioms. And if you look in a dictionary, just look at each word in the dictionary that appears in the idiom. If you put together the three words of the idiom, it won't add up to that. But that's in every language, there are certain expressions. So we have traditions about that, that there are certain expressions that appear in the Chumash, like priyetz hadar. It doesn't mean delicious looking fruit that's enticing to eat. Nechmad lemar means esrog. You can't pick any fruit that you want that you find enticing. We have a tradition, it means esrog. Ayin tachasam, we have a tradition that that's an idiom. It means mamon. It doesn't mean mamish. It never meant mamish. It's not that chachamim changed the din. From day number one, the Rambam writes, kach reinu, the Rambam Hilchos Chayvei Lamazek writes, whenever somebody was chayvah b'charei, we made them pay chamisha dvarim. Nobody ever did ayin tachas ayin mamish. That was a tradition that that expression is an idiom. Then the third, the big bulk of the Torah Shabbat Peh is the halachas that are derived from the Yud Gimel Midah Shatar and the Resh has spent by reading in between the lines of the Chumash. So those are three parts of the Torah Shabbat Peh: halacha Moshe Sinai, Perush Mamukabolim and Moshe. And the dinim that are derived through the Yud Gimel Midah Shatar and the Resh has been. Then the Rambam has a fourth and a fifth section of the Torah Shebaal Peh, and it sounds l'fi pshuta that these are all min haTorah. This is all midderaisa. These are parts of Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Rambam writes all the takonas the Rabbanan and all the gzeiras the Rabbanan. Let's say min haTorah, you're allowed to write with your left hand on Shabbos. You're only forbidden to write with your right hand if a person is a righty. Mid Rabbanan, if he writes with the left hand, that's also awesome. Then you have a takana de Rabbanan, made a takana. You have to read the Megillah and Purim. You have to light the Eretz Chanukah and Chanukah. So the simple reading of the Rambam is mashma that all the dinim de Rabbanan, both the mitzvah sesim of the Rabbanan and the mitzvah lo sesim, the takanas are the mitzvah sesim of the Rabbanan and the gzeris are the mitzvah lo sesim of the Rabbanan. All of these blend in min haTorah to become part of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. I don't remember that he ever mentioned this Pirush HaMishnayos la Rambam, but he used to say he thinks that Dava Pasha like that, that all the Dinam de Rabbanon blend in to be part of Torah Shebaal Peh. When a person learns the Dinam de Rabbanon, he's mekayem Talmud Torah derais. It's a Chefetz Shel Torah. The Chevetz HaGavra to observe it is only de Rabbanon, but it's a Chefetz Shel Torah on the level of derais. So the Taz is suggesting an idea. If you want all the dinim de Rabbanon to blend in, to become part of the Torah Shebaal Peh min haTorah, it can't be contradicting, explicitly contradicting Dovah Mefurish b'Torah. If it says in the Torah, you have to blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we're going to do away with it legamrei. So how can that din de Rabbanon blend in to be part of Torah Shebaal Peh? If you're going to do away with it partially, you're going to say, the Pasuk says you blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, but it doesn't apply on Shabbos, even though the halacha is not so. But with the Rabbanon, you say not a lot of blow shofar on Shabbos, so you blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out the other days of the week. But to take a pasuk and do away with it completely, and to say that that din de Rabbanon is going to blend in, to constitute part of Torah Shabbat Peh min haTorah, that probably is not going to work. So the Meiri has that teretz. That's one of the six answers that the Meiri gives. Why didn't the Chachamim make a gzer de Rabbanon when a milah bizmana falls out on Shabbos? Why didn't they prohibit it? Because gzer shemi yavaren adal aramis b'shus harabim. So he quotes all the six answers that the Rishonim gives. So one of the answers is that this is considered like a dav hamafurish b'tar. It's not really. It's not dav hamafurish b'tar. But the Tanaim understood. It already says in Lech Lecha. So why is it repeated here? So it must be, there's tell me, I feel the bishop. So we treat that as if it's also like a dab hamafurish batur. There is a very fascinating Or Sameach. They told me that Rav Palm, Zechon Lebrach and Torah B'Das, used to say this over every year. Every couple of years, I say it over. There's a sefer on Kochim. I think it's called Mekor Baruch. in Europe when they started learning in Kochim before the Second World War, and the Kollelim there. So one of the Gedolim wrote a very strong Sefer Mekor Baruch. So when one of the Rabbonim in Cleveland and Telzi Yeshiva reprinted the Sefer, so he added a page in the beginning, and he wrote over this whole story that he heard from the Or Sameach, that the Or Sameach writes in the Hashmatas, in the Or Sameach, that he has a pshat, and in Hashamayim, they indicated to him that his pshat was correct. What do you mean, min Hashamayim? So there is a Gemara in Chulin, in the first parak in Chulin, towards the end of the first parak, where the Gemara needs a pasuk to say, there's a pasuk in Parshas Shmini that says, "Biyom tzavosa lahakri b'skorbanayim," and the Gemara derives from that pasuk, "Biyom tzavosa v'lo balaylo," all karbonos have to be brought by yom. So that covers all avodas, avodas adam, the dalar avodas adam. And by a mincha, there are dalar avodas that are parallel to the dalar avodas adam. That's a long Rashi in the beginning of the second parak and soita, the first amid base and the second parak. Rashi explains how the dalar avodas by a mincha parallel to the dalar avodas adam by korban behema. So that all the avodas, all the dalar avodas have to be done by yom. The haktoras emurim can be done by laila. That's not avodas adam. And the sachayayin can be done by laila. Okay. But the dalar avodas adam have to be done by yom. So what if you bring an oilas ha'oif? So also all the avodas have to be done by yom. So the Gemara needs a pasuk that if you bring oilas ha'oif, you have to do the avodah by yom. So it doesn't make any sense. Why do you need another pasuk? You have this general pasuk. Yom tzavos alakrav skarbanem by yom alo balaylo. So the Gemara says, Mao de Tema, one might have thought that when you bring an oil of sa'if, it should be similar to Haktaras Emurim. And Haktaras Emurim is Mutabalaila. I would have thought that Hakrabas oil of sa'if should be Mutabalaila. So that's why I need a separate pasuk. So why would I have thought that it's like Haktaras Emurim? You bring a carbon oif, so it's a separate carbon. It has a dollar about his body oif. So the Osamech has a fantastic pshat. There's an Ibn Ezra, he says the Gemara means the following. The Ibn Ezra in the beginning of Parshas Tazria has a comment. If the woman is a Yoledes, so it says in the Chumash that she brings a chatos behema, and an oil of sa'if. But if ein yada maseges, if she can't afford that, then she brings chata saif, oila saif, and another oila saif. That's called oila v'yarid. Oila v'yarid means that you can afford it, you bring more expensive carbon, you can't afford it, you bring less expensive carbon. There are five oila v'yarids. One is the yoledes. If she can't afford it, she brings a less expensive carbon. Then later in the next parsha, in Mitzor, when the Mitzor becomes tohar, also if you can't afford it, so you bring Bashiris or Bedalos. Then in Parshas Vayikra, there are three Averis, where there's also a Oil of the Yorid, but there are three, there's Ashiris, Dalos, and Dali Dalos. What are the three Averis? The one is Tumas Mikdush v'Kadosha, the person either entered the Beis HaMikdush or ate Kochim in the state of Tumah, B'Shoigeg, so then he has to bring a Chatas Oil of the Yorid. So if he can afford it, he brings a Chatas Behem. He can't afford it, he brings a Chatas Oif. If he can't afford that, then he brings a minchas chayte. What's another avera? Shvuas bitui. And the third one is shvuas ha'idus. So these three averas, shvuas bitui, shvuas ha'idus, and tumas mikdush kodoshav, is also olaviyor, but it's olaviyor. There's hashivas dalus and dali dalus. So what's the din in the beginning of Parshas Tazriyev? If the oledis can afford it, so she brings a chatas behema. And another soif, and if she can't afford a chatas behema, much more expensive, then she should bring a chatas soif and an oil soif, and then she brings the regular oil soif. So the Ben Ezra asked, if she can afford it, she only brings a chatas behema and an oil soif. If she can't afford the chatas behema, why does she have to bring a chatas soif and an oil soif to substitute for the chatas behema? Let her just bring a chatas soif. Why does she need two kabbanis to substitute for one? Should be enough with one. So the Ibn Ezra explains, Ibn Ezra explains when you're being a chatas behema, then you're makri ve'murim on the mizbech. If you're going to bring a chatas ha'oif, there are no imurim. You do zrikas hadam, you do mitzvah, you do zrikas hadam, and then the kohanim eat the rest of the chatas ha'oif. So there's no haktoras imurim, there's no haktorah at all. So in order to bring a chatas ha'oif to substitute for the chatas behema, you're going to be missing haktorah. So that's what the Torah says, bring an oil ha'oif in addition. So that's what the Osamech said. That's the pshat in the Gemara in the end of the first perek in Chulin. The Gemara says, I need an extra pasuk to tell me that oil ha'oif cannot be brought by Laila. Which oil ha'oif? If a person volunteers b'nedava to bring oil ha'oif, that's the dalar avodas adam, have to be done by yom. I don't need a pasuk for that. The Gemara goes on this oil ha'oif, and an oil ha'oif that's brought b'dalus, the substitute for chatas behema. So instead of what only bringing a chatas, you bring a chatas oif and an oil ha'oif. And why you're bringing the oil ha'oif? To take the place of the haktoras emurim. Haktoras emurim is normally good balaila. So in that case, I would have thought that you can do the whole oil ha'oif balaila. Because the whole purpose of the oil ha'oif is to take the place of the haktoras emurim of the chatas behema, which you can't afford to bring. So that's why I would have thought that can be done by Lila. So this is, Dios HaMeach had this pshat. So he once had a dream that the Malachim, Dios HaMeach was sleeping, he had a dream. The Malachim in heaven said they're going to wipe out the Jewish people, that they're making leitzonis from the Torah. They make pshetlach and they say falsha Torah. And the Rashba said, the Rashba was there in the Bezen Shalmaila, and the Rashba said to them, no, there's a Jew who lives in Dvinska, Remeir Simcha, and there's a Gemara in Chulin in the first parak, this line in the Gemara, and I decided that it's wrong, and I crossed out the Girsa, and I changed it. In our Gemaras, we don't have that Girsa. That's the old Girsa that the Rashba quotes. And in our Gemaras, they already took it out. And he said, this Jew in Dvinsk, Rameh Simcha, he gave the correct pshat, he's right. So you shouldn't wipe out the Jewish people in this chus of Rameh Simcha, he's learning Torah Lamitas. And when he woke up, he didn't know where this Rashba is. He started looking, he found that it's in the Chuvas HaRashba. There's a Chuvas HaRashba where he writes, the old Girsa is a mistake, it's a Torah Sefer, and you should correct it. So he crossed out the whole line in the Gemara. And our Gemara, we don't even have that Girsa. So when he wrote over this pshat in the Hashmatis and the Arsamech, it's not where it belongs in this Chelak of Kochim and the Rambam is, I think, in Chelak Aleph. In Mada Hava Zmanim over there, they have Hashmatis from other Chalokim and the Arsamech. So there he has this beer in the Gemara. And he says, in Hashemayim, they showed him that his pshat was correct. That was the dream that he had. So this whole beer of the Arsamech appears in this one page that the Rosh Yeshiva from Cleveland, from Telza Yeshiva, when he reprinted the Mekor Baruch, which was a sefer written before the Second World War, and Yoni Kachem, so he added on this one page, because the Osamech told him the whole story. So he told him that's what he meant when he wrote in the sefer Men HaShamayim, Eskimu Al Yodi. So he told me the Rapam used to say it over every year. It's an interesting pshat. The Torah tells us that the Mitzorah has to act in a fashion of Avelus. The Gemara has a suffix, whether the Mitzorah is Nag Avelus or Beregel. On Yontif, one doesn't observe Avelus. So the Mitzorah observes Avelus. It says he does Atifas HaRosh. Al Sofam Yateh, he does Atifas HaRosh. That's like an oval. B'zman Hazeh, we don't practice Atifas HaRosh. Tosis in the end of my cotton says, why don't we observe a Tifus HaRosh? Tifus HaRosh is when you wear a hood over your head and it goes over your eyes. So Tosfos says it'll just evoke laughter. People won't know what we're doing. So that we don't observe it. The Rambam writes one should observe a little bit when one is sitting Shiva. So one should wear a hat with the brim down. Not like some people wear a hat with the brim up. So like the Lubavitcher Rebbe used to wear with the brim down, that's Atifas HaRosh. If you wear the hat over the eyes with the brim down, so that's what the Rambam recommends. Or if the person is wearing the oval is wearing a talus, he should wear the talus over his head. But Atifas HaRosh. So the Oval observes al sof hamyata. He observes a partial dinim amabelis. The Gemara raises the question whether the Oval is noig, whether the mitzor is noig tzarato baregel or not. Rashi has an interesting comment on that Gemara. Moed Kotten. Rashi says, is the mitzor noig dini avelis baregel? So he says the mitzor is not allowed to enter ayoris hamakavus chaima or Yerushalayim. He's not allowed to enter any mechutz lamachana. V'yosha mechutz lamachana. Moishavoy. So it means he's not allowed to enter any ayoris hamakavus chaima. So Rashi learns that's the Gemara's sofik. Maybe Baregel, he's permitted to come into the Machne. He's permitted to come into Yerushalayim. Interesting. Rashi held that that's Pashta says v'loy tamas machanem. That's the din of shiluch tamei mena machne. No one's going to say that he's not tamei on Yontif. You're going to say the mitzvah is not tamei. Of course he's tamei on Yontif. Because anyone who touches him will become tamei. Shaila says he noig tzarato. Is he noig abelusai? The elements of abelus. The Rashi understood that the mitzvah is not permitted to enter Yaris Hamkavus Chaim. That's an act of niyug abelus. Interesting, Achidish and Rashi. Other Rishonim disagree. They say, no, that's Shiluch Tmei Men HaMachne. That's Noigan Yontev also.
Tell me when the Kohen tells him he's Tamei, otherwise he's still Tohar.
That is correct, yes.
So, you know, comes Yontev, don't declare the guy Tamei.
No, we're talking here that he was Tamei from before.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
Okay. Didn't explain. Okay. It means a person was already declared by the Kohen a month before Regel. So then it comes Regel. So if one is in the middle of Shiva, it comes Yontif, so he doesn't observe Shiva. One in the middle of Shloshim, he doesn't continue to observe Shloshim on Regel. So what if one is in the middle of Nihuk Tzaras? The Kohen already declared him as Tamei before. So is he noyeg the dinam of Avel, aspects of Avelos of the Mitzvah? So that's a chiddush de Rashi ol shiluach hamitzor min hamachne. Not allowed to enter yoros hamakavus chaim is a new gavelus. Pashtun says it's not a new gavelus. That's a shiluach tamei min hamachne. Others thought that the mitzorah has a contagious disease, and that's why he's not allowed to be in the city because he's going to transmit it to other people. So if it's like leprosy, a contagious disease, how can you say it's not noig baregel? That's dumb. So that's dumb, that's not correct. It doesn't correspond living and death to leprosy. It doesn't correspond to any medical condition, any sickness that we're aware of. Some we assume some kind of a oynish min hashamayim that doesn't correspond to a normal sickness. Yeah, that din, taki shiluach tameim, the mitzvah is not allowed to enter. All ayaros hamakav ischaim moshe shubin, and if he enters Yerushalayim, then he's loike. What if he enters any one of the other ayaros hamakaf eschaima? So you look in the Mishnayos, the Rash and the Rosh, and the Mishnayos, that's a machlekes harishanim. Lo yovel toch hamachne is a lav. So lo yovel the lav to be called on Yerushalayim is called machne. And the other ayaros hamakaf eschaima, that's only an essay. Yishalcha min hamachne. Maybe it's an essay. Maybe there's no lav. Or do we say no? All ayaros hamakaf eschaima have a status of machne. And if the Mitzora enters Ayaros HaMakavus Chaim, he will be loike. So that's a machloike sarishayim. I think the quote from the Gro, that the Gro held like that, if I'm not mistaken, that there should be malchus even by, not only by Yerushalayim, even on Ayaros HaMakavus Chaim, that even Ayaros HaMakavus Chaim have a din of machane. The Mabit was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo in Tzfat in the 1500s. They were together on the same bezin. They had a few famous disputes, but I guess 98%, 99% of the dinim, they agreed with each other. And there was 1 or 2% famous disputes that they had. So the Mabit and the Beis Yosef wrote commentaries on the Rambam. So the Rabbi Yosef Kari wrote the Kesef Mishnah, and that has been accepted. He gives you the Mar Mekemes, every Rambam. Is it a Mishnah? Is it a Tosefta? Is it a Shita Sagainim? Is it a Gemara? Is it a Yerushalmi? Does the Ramban disagree? Does the Rashbo disagree? So we know the Kesef Mishnah is a Gevaldik. And the Mabit, who was a contemporary, wrote a Sefer Kiryas Sefer. He doesn't write all the Marmakayim. He doesn't even try to write all the Marmakayim, said the Ramban. He writes up here and there, Chidushim, and Kailulim, when someone has to say a Chabura, so he'll always find a difficult passage in the Mabit, and there'll always be something to say Torah. He always writes some original things there. So the Mabit assumes a double portion that all Ayoros HaMakov Chaim Oseh Shubinun have the status of Machna. They have the exact same din as Yerushalayim. So he's bothered with Akasha. If so, why can't you eat? We never heard that you're allowed to eat Kachim Kalim and Ayoros HaMakov Chaim. You can only eat it in Yerushalayim. But if all Ayoros HaMakov Chaim have the same din as Yerushalayim, how come you can't eat Kachim Kalim? So he answers that you have to shecht them in the Azara. You have to shecht the kachim kalim in the Azara. So once you shecht them in the Azara, if you're going to take it out and bring it to one of the Ayoros HaMakovos Chaim, it'll be nifsal b'yotze. So that's why it's a technicality. Then he gets stuck with a kasha. So why can't you eat Maisa Sheni in Ayoros HaMakovos Chaim? There's no psul of Maisa Sheni. It's not nifsal b'yotze. The farmer lives, let's say, in Kibbutz Yavne. And whatever they grow there, pickles, oranges, whatever they grow. So why does he have to bring the Maaseh Sheni to Yerushalayim? Let him bring it. Let him eat it. Then Ayoros HaMakov Chaim.
So he comes. Does it say the lashon of Bos El HaMakom?
Yeah. So the Makom Yerushalayim. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that all Ayoros HaMakov Chaim have the same din as Yerushalayim. That the Metzora Shenichnas is like, and theoretically should have been able to eat Kachim Kalim there. So shouldn't you be able to eat? And the only reason why I can't eat Kachim Kalim and Ayaros HaMakov Chaim, because it'll be Nipsal B'yotze. So why can't you eat Maaseh Sheni there? Maaseh Sheni is not Nipsal B'yotze. So he answers exactly what you're saying. To eat Maaseh Sheni, you need a higher level of Kedusha than to eat Kachim Kalim. To eat Kachim Kalim is Maspik that Ayaros HaMakov Chaim have a din of Machna. Machna Yisrael, you can eat it. But in order to eat Maaseh Sheni, you have to eat Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim, where you're going to see the Kohanim walking in the street, and there's Makdusha B'Tahara. You need a higher level of Kedusha Yerushalayim for Maaseh Sheni than you need for Kachim Kalim. That's a Chiddush. The Gemara in Shavuos tells that Bizman Bayis Sheni, they added on to the city Yerushalayim for security purposes. What do you mean, security purposes? So Rashi says, they know that the soldiers will fight with more zest. There'll be more Moisa Nefesh. Fighting in the army is a sakonis nefesh. It's a dangerous thing. They know the soldiers will be Moisa Nefesh more to defend the capital city. Yerushalayim is Rabira's capital. So they added on sections to Yerushalayim, which they never managed to Kedusha Yerushalayim. So those added sections never went down with Kedusha Soir. So you're not allowed, neither permitted to eat Maaseh Sheni there, nor permitted to eat Kachim Kalim there. And the Amei Haaretz didn't realize this. So they used to eat Kachim Kalim there, but they wouldn't eat Maaseh Sheni there. Because they held like this Mabit. They held like the Mabit, that in order to eat Kachim Kalim, they added the areas that they added onto Yerushalayim had enough. They had a Kedusha, like Yerushalayim, you're allowed to eat Kachim Kalma there. But the Maaseh Sheni, you need a higher level of Kedusha, and the areas that were added didn't have that higher level of Kedusha. So we don't hold like the Amei Haaretz. What they said was wrong. So the Mabit holds, but in principle, they are right. One part of their Cheshbon was correct, that in order to be permitted to eat Maaseh Sheni, you need a higher level of Kedusha Yerushalayim than in order to eat Kachim Kalim. We usually assume just the reverse. Kachim Kalim is a carbon. So there's a Taisus has a kasha. Taisus and Makkas has a kasha. Gemara Makkas talks about a person sitting on the branch of a tree in Yerushalayim and he's eating Maaseh Sheni. So Taisus asks the kasha, how can you eat? How can you eat Maaseh Sheni on the branch of a tree? The Gemara says, Msochem, the Gagam Balius, Lein is Kachu. You're only allowed to eat Korban Pesach on the ground level. You can't eat if you have the rooftop. The Gagan or Aliyah, if you have a building in Yerushalayim, you can't eat Korban Pesach on the second floor. You can only eat Korban Pesach on the ground floor. So how can the Gemara say that the fellow sitting on the branch, on top of the branch in the tree, how is he allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni, but it's Gagan Aliyah, on his kasha. That's Tesis kasha. So there are different answers are given. So the Ritva, Tesis gives different answers. So the Ritva says that there's no, Tosas made an equation between Kachim Kalim and Maaseh Sheni. The same Yerushalayim that you need to eat Maaseh Sheni is the same what you need to eat Kachim Kalim. So if you can't eat Kachim Kalim on the branch, on the branches, only on the ground level, so how can you eat Maaseh Sheni there? So the Ritva there, Amakas answers, no, just the opposite from the Mabit, just the opposite from the Ami Haaretz. On the top of the branches, Gagam Baliyah says, okay, for eating Ma'aseh Sheni, it is okay. Lucius Yerushalayim is Ola Adler Akia. That's not a problem. If you're in a helicopter over Yerushalayim, also you can eat the Ma'aseh Sheni. That's not a problem. The eat kochim kalam has to be dafka on the ground level. So this is Mamash HaMachlokes, when Akotza Al-Akotza, the Mabit holds that the Svar of the Ami Haaretz, that the mokum to eat Ma'aseh Sheni has to be a higher level of Kedusha than the mokum to eat kochim kalam. And the Ritvo says no, that the mokum to eat kochim kalam has to be a higher level of Kedusha than to eat Ma'aseh Sheni. And everybody else assumes that it's equal. It's the exact same thing. Whatever is a place where you can eat kochim kalam, you can eat Ma'aseh Sheni. It's all Toli Zebeze. That's a famous machlokes. Yeah, one of the nihugim, one of the observances of Avelus, that the Mitzorah has to have is begodim yufurumim. He has to walk with begodim keruim. So the Gemara in the third perek and Moedkot perek Ela Megalchen has all the dinim of Avelus. Most of the dinim of Avelus appear there. Some dinim are in other mesichtas also, but most of the dinim are in perek Ela Megalchen. So the Gemara has a din. What if a person has an old beggar that he ripped Kriya years ago? A different person died. He was by the coast of Arabia and ripped Kriya. And now another relative dies. So he's going to wear that old beggar that he tore Kriya and he's not going to tear Kriya again. So the Gemara says, Hayotze bebegad karua bifnei habeis harezeh gozel asachayim esameisim. He's cheating the mace because he's not ripping Kriya to cover this relative who died. And he's fooling the public into believing that he fulfilled the mitzvah kriya. He's walking around with a torn beged, and it's a fraud, it's a fake. He didn't rip kriya for this person. I think Mari even has, let's say, he ripped kriya, he thought that his father died, and really the mother died. So the Gemara says, you're not yotze kriya. He thought he was ripping kriya for a different person. You're only yotze kriya if you know who died. So the some mafarshim point out here, the pasuk says by the mitzvah, God of you for Rumim. It doesn't say that he has to rip Kriya because he's a Mitzvah. He should wear torn begodim. So some point that I think Torah Tmima has this suggestion. It's a chiddush that he doesn't have to rip Kriya specifically because he is now a Mitzvah. If he wears Begad Karua, must be, that's good enough. Unlike a regular din that you have to rip Kriya l'shem kach. Then the Torah has the dinim of Taras begodim. So Ras Begodim, it says in the Chumash, it's Bebeged Sem or Bebeged Pishtim or Ba'or, either a linen garment or a woolen garment or a leather garment. So the Pasuk only recognizes two kinds of cloth garments as a garment, either Beged Sem or Beged Pishtim. What about regarding tzitzis? What if a person wears a cotton talus? So a cotton talus is chayim and tzitzis, that's the din. But there's a machlokes hatanoim and a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch had a paskin, like which tana should we accept? Whether a cotton beggar is chayim and tzitzis ben hatorah adjustment the rabbanim. So that's why the Ramo recommends that why do we wear tzitzis at all? The din is if a person, it's a conditional mitzvah. What the Rambam calls a mitzvah sarashus. It's not an optional mitzvah, not exactly mitzvah sarashus. It's a conditional mitzvah. Let's say I have 9 children. The first child is a girl. So we didn't have to do pinyin aben. And am I mechuyiv to marry another wife in order to try to have a baby in order to do pinyin aben? Not mechuyiv. I'm not mechuyiv. If you didn't have a firstborn, was not a boy, you're not mechuyiv in pinyin aben. If a bum sleeps in the park, you're not mechuyiv to put a mezuzah. If you live in a house, you have to put a mezuzah. It's a conditional mitzvah. If you have a boy, you have to do a bris milah. If you don't have any boys, you don't have a chiv to do a bris milah. So here also, if you're wearing a four-corner garment, you're mechiv to put on tzitzis. If you're not wearing, you're not mechiv. So why do we go out of our way to wear a four-corner garment? So Tosis quotes the Gemara in the end of the first parak in Soita, Mipnei Ma Nisaba Moshe Abenu Likonis L'Oretz. Why did Moshe Abenu offer Baschanan al Hashem? The Medrash says he offered over 500 tefillos, he wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael. Why did he want to enter Eretz Yisrael? Chilechem period with his Baal Mituva. He wanted to swim in the Yarden. He wanted to swim in the Kinneret. He wanted to sunbathe there. What did he need? Why did he have to go to Eretz Yisrael? Mora says, no, he wanted to fulfill the mitzvahs al Tluyos Baretz. If you live in Chutz Lortz, you don't have the obligation to observe mitzvot lizbaros. The answer is a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu wants to put himself in a situation to be obligated to observe the mitzvahs. If he only lives in Chutz Lortz, he's going to be missing all those mitzvahs. So we should all be like Moshe Rabbeinu. So other Balei HaTosfos say that's Mechzi Ki Yuara. Who do you think you are? You're not on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. So there were communities in Morocco where the minig was that only the rabbi would wear a talis. The balabatim wouldn't wear a talis. The rabbi is like Moshe Rabbeinu. So he should go out of his way to put on a four-corner garment in order to be mechayim himself to observe the mitzvah of tzitzis. But the balabatim are not on that pandrega, so that's not right. So then there were different practices. So that's our the common practices, like the Tosfos said, even though they were both Balei HaTosfos. Both Balei HaTosfos. Yeah, this is quoted. The Tosfos with the Shita Mekubetz is printed on the side of the Gemara and Perek HaTchelus in Maseches Menachos. So they quote these two opinions. And only for Moshe Rabbeinu, this fits in, or everyone should wear a talis with Arba Kambas in order to obligate himself to wear tzitzis. So the Ramos says, since there are some opinions who hold that it's only a mitzvah, not to wear tzitzis, if it's a beged samurai, beged pishtim, so one should really, we would recommend that one should wear a woolen arba kamfis. If he's going to wear a katna arba kamfis all day long, it's questionable whether he's fulfilling a mitzvah menatara or just a mitzvah in the rabbon, because that was a machlekes satanoim, whether the chiyuv tzitzis only applies menatara in a beged of tzemer beged pishtim, like tzaraz begodim, it's only beged tzemer beged pishtim. Oh no, that's by tzaraz begodim. But by tzitzis, all begodim are included, even kat begodim. So that's what the Ramah recommends. They quote, the Vilna Goyen wore a katna arba kamfis. And many follow the Grua, they wear katna. This tiny, yeah, the Vilna Goyen wore a katna arba kamfis because his practice was he wore talis and tefillin all day long. So the talis was a woolen talis. So what did he need the arba kamfis for? When he went to the Beis HaKisa, he would take off the talis and tefillin. So for the few minutes that he goes to the Beis HaKisa, so that was sufficient with a katna arba kamfis. But we're not going to wear a talis all day long, so maybe we're not following the footsteps of the Gro if we're just going to wear a katna arba kamfis. So that's a question. So actually, he used to wear a katna arba kamfis. He felt that that's following the Vilna Gro, not like the Ramo. The Ramo recommends Davki should wear a woolen arba kamfis. And others have the taina, no, the Gro only wore a katna arba kamfis, because he used to wear a talis and tefillin most of the day long. The Mishnah in the Goyim says, the din is that we divide all of the payment into two categories. There's a tumas maga and there's a tumah hayotza ala migufa. Zab zava yaledis and mitzvah, that's a tumah hayotza ala migufa developed within the body. Then there's a tumas maga. I go to a funeral, so the mace is adi avosa tumah. So I'm a kabel tumor from the mace, and whenever tumor is transmitted, it always goes down a madrega. So the mace is abi avoy, so those who attend the funeral become an av hatumah. Then I shake hands with someone who didn't attend the funeral, so I transmit the tumor to him, so I make him into a rishon tumor. The tumor, when it's transmitted, always goes down a madrega. That's the Gemara, the first half in Baba Kama, that by tumor told the same, lavka yetzbeh. Told us, by tumor means it's transmitted from one to the other. Told us by Shabbos and by Nezikin, means that these fall under the categories. You have Arba Abbas and Zikin, or Lamates Abbas Malachas and Shabbos. These are categories, these are rubrics, categories of Nezikin, or categories of Malachas. So the Toldos are sufficiently similar to the Abbas that falls under the category. But Toldos by Tumah means that Tumah is transmitted. So that's why by Tumah, that's when the Nachlas David has a famous pshat on the first half of Baba Kama. Why does the Gemara come to the conclusion that by Shabbos told the same Kayotze Behem, and by Nezikin told the same Kayotze Behem, and by Tumah told the same Lav Kayotze Behem? Because by the Shabbos and Nezikin, you're talking about Toldos that fall under the category of them. So it falls under the category, it's the same. But by Tumah, Toldos means you're transmitting the Tumah. So by definition, when you transmit the Tumah, it goes down a Madrega. So the din distinguishes between tumah yotza lemigufa as opposed to tumas maga. So one difference is there are three machnas, that's in Parshas Naso. There's machna shchina, machna leviyah, and machna yisrael. So machna shchina is the azara, So there, no tome is permitted to enter, even a tumas maga. But a machna levia, the harabais, mikar adin deraisa, only one who has a tumah yotza the megufoy, zav zav and nidi oledes and mitzayra are not allowed to enter the harabais. With the rabbanon, they divide the harabais into three different sections, and they said a tumah mesa not allowed to enter in the inner sections of the harabais. That's with the rabbanon. So there's a difference between tumah yotza the megufa and tumas maga. Tumah yotza the megufa, they're not allowed to enter the harabais. And Machna Yisrael is only the Mitzora, is Yosha Michutz Lamachana, that's only by the Mitzora. There's not allowed to enter Yerushalayim, Ayaros HaMakav Hizchayim. What's another difference between Tumah Yotza and Megufa? Taisus says, and Afkimenet for Tumah is Muta B'tzibur. So Taisus understood the Mishnah is Tumah is only Muta B'tzibur, if it's a tumas maga, but if it's a tumah yotza lemegufa, then it's not muta betzibur. The Rambam doesn't agree with this. The Rambam seems to hold that only tumas meis is muta betzibur, but other tumas maga, a person touched a yoledes, a person touched the zav, so that's a tumas maga, but it's not tumas meis. So the Rambam holds that that's not muta betzibur. What's another difference halacha lemaisa between tumas ri and tumah yotza? Tumah yotza lemegufa is the same as tumas ria, as opposed to tumas maga. So there's a big machlekes harishayim, and the first daf and nida, the first the tesis and the first daf, and the baba kama and the first perik. The klolim of safik tumah b'shul seyochet sveka tamim b'shul serabim sveka tohar. So one opinion in tesis is that the klolim hapsak only apply to tumas maga, doesn't apply to tumah yotza lemegufa. Tumah yotza lemegufa is governed with the regular rules. If there's one suffix there, I say luchum and esvek sveka lekula. And the other opinion in Taisus is no, that even by Tumas Ria also, it's governed with the rules of suffix tumim shusayach versus suffix tumim shusarabim. What about by Mitzorah? It's also governed with the rules of shusayach and shusarabim. So Mitzorah is considered tuma yotza lemegufa tzechidush, because like he said before, the Mitzorah only becomes tuma if the coin declares him as being Thomas. How can you call that a Tumas Riyah? He has the whole Negat Saras, but because Bizman Hazeh, we don't recommend that a Kohen should declare him as Tameh, because if once the Kohen will declare him as Tameh, then he'll never be able to get out of it. For the Metzora who gets healed, he has to bring Korbanos in order to become Torah. He's a Mechusi Kippurim. So if you'll declare someone today as a Metzora, even if the miraculous disease will disappear, you won't be able to be mitari him, because the tahara procedure requires karbonis. We don't have a base on Migdash. So that's why we don't declare anybody. Teferis Yisrael, the beginning of Negoim, talks about that. How come we don't declare anybody as tummy today? So he has one suggestion, maybe in to push it, the reason why is, I think the Chavetz Chaim writes, we don't declare anybody as tummy today because he won't be able to krich out of it. If he'll heal, he won't be able to be in time himself because we don't bring korbanos today. Teresa, I think, has a different suggestion. Maybe you need a kohen, kohen meyuchas. Just like you need a kohen meyuchas for hakrobos hakrobanos, maybe you need a kohen meyuchas for the purpose of being mitamei mitzoroim. That's a chiddush.
I thought
this
manene, we weren't that familiar with the
simonim
from
Mitzorayim. Also, if you're not familiar, it's upgeret, so of course you can't pass him. But even if someone will be a bokin, I'll know all the klolim, still our practice is we don't get a kohen to declare the person as tummy. Why not? It's one of the mitzvahs in the Torah that you should go to the kohen and he should declare you as tummy. So that's what the Tveris Yisrael quotes, that suggestion that you need dafka kohen miyuchad. That's a big chiddush. For many years, they assumed that the kohani chazoke, who are not kohanim miyuchasim, are sofik kohanim. They're not vade kohanim, and therefore, benegeta kohen marrying a chalutza, maybe there's a little room to be a little more lenient, because chalutza, the Gemara says, only osim de rabbanan, gusha is an isa de raisa. Chalutza is only the rabbanan. So, in a certain sense, maybe it's a sofik. Sofik the rabbanan lekula. If he married the chalutz already, maybe we would say lo teitzi, doesn't have to get divorced. The b'mata lachatchila is not right, but if he got married, we would tell him lo teitzi. So Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva Eiger in Germany, and he had this wild idea, we should go build a Beis HaMikdash and make a Mizbech and bring Karbonis, and he writes a whole kuntris, Drishas Tzion. It was an open letter to Rothschild, I think, that he should put up the money to build the Beis HaMikdash, and he's going to solve all the problems. So he writes about this issue. One of the problems is we don't have enough Kohanim Yuchas. We have hardly any Kohanim Yuchas. Everybody's only Kohanim Chazoka. So you can't allow them to be Makro Karbonis. He came up with a Chiddush. Both Rabbi Kiveger and Chassam Sefer were masking with the Chiddush because he sent the Sefer, Drishas Tzion, to Rabbi Kiveger, and he was masking. Then Rabbi Kiveger sent it to his son-in-law, the Chassam Sefer, and he was masking. So he came in, the Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer came up with a Chiddush that the requirement for Kohen Miyuchas to be Makro Karbonis is only a Chumra Midrabbanan that was introduced by Ezra. And the Chumra was only introduced in the beginning of the Baisheni period where there were enough Kohanim Miyuchasim to do the Avodah. But today, if you'll insist that you need Kohen Miyuchas, it'll mean that you won't be able to do the Avodah. So he said it's self-understood that the Chumra was the Chumra Midrabbanan, it's only a Chumra Midrabbanan. Kohen the Rabbam is only introduced when you'll be able to be Makro Karbonis without the Kohen Chazak. But B'zman Hazeh won't be able to. So the Chumen the Rabbanon certainly wouldn't apply. So they agreed with that. That's interesting. So you're going to say that this, the need for Kohen Miyuch is only with the Rabbanon, and they carried it, they introduced it for Rias Negoyim also. Why Mehecha Tesa? Why should you assume like that? So a Metzorah is also considered, even though you need a psak of the Kohen to declare that he's a Metzorah, it doesn't become a Metzorah automatically, but still we consider Metzorah as one who is a Tumas Riyah, like a Zab Zava, Nidhi, or Ledes, that's a Tumah Yotzol Migufay, even though it doesn't happen automatically, you have to have the psak of the Kohen. The question is, if one should assume that the Klali HaPsak of Safik Tumah Mishusarech and Mishusarabim do apply, not only to Tumas Maga, but even to Tuma Hayotzal and Meguvin, Tumas Riya, the two opinions in the first Tesis and the first daf in Masechas Nida, and in other places also, Me'ila, other places, yeah. So if you should assume like that, do the Kloli Hapsak even apply to a Mitzoira? So that the Sefer Mein Avtarech says that for sure not. Mein Avtarech was written a long time ago, probably 200 years ago. It's a commentary on Hakdamas HaRambam, the Seder Taras. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah wrote a Hakdamah to Seder Taras. It's a fantastic Hakdamah. One of the Maskilim once made a comment, they quote him, that if the only thing we had from the Rambam, we wouldn't have the Mishnah Torah, wouldn't have the rest of the Pirush HaMishnah. If we only had the Hakdamas HaRambam to Seder Taras, we would know that the Rambam was the God Lador in his generation. It's such a fantastic Hakdamah. So the main Avtoyach is a Chibur. The text of the Sefer on top of the page is the Hakdamas HaRambam, the Seder Taras, and the commentaries on the bottom, where he has two commentaries to explain all the ideas that the Rambam is including. The Rambam wrote everything b'kitzur, he has long arichas. So the main Avtoyach points out that this for sure, this everybody agrees, that Sofik Tum Mishu Serech Mishu Sarabim, the Klali HaPsak do not apply to Mitzora. Why not? So the Pashtus is, why not? The Klali HaPsak only apply when it's a Sofik Tum. Sofik Tum means the two Tzadim. Maybe it's Tum and maybe it's Tahar. By Mitzora, the two Tzadim are not, is he Tum, is he Tahar? Is he Tahar and there's no Mitzvah Latamo? Or is he Tahar and there is a Mitzvah to declare him as Tum? But the two, it's only called the Sofik Tum. If the two Tzadim of the Sofik are, is he Tum, is he Tahar? But by the Mitzvah, you need a Psak HaKoyin. So the Gemara learns that from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if the person is Tohar, and it's a Sufik way that we should declare him as Tameh, so you don't declare him as Tameh, because the Pasuk says, Zos Torahs HaMitzvah LeTaharo, O LeTamo. Since it says first LeTaharo, and only afterwards LeTamo, so whenever it means, whenever there's a toss-up, so you should leave him Tohar. What if it would be the reverse? Let's say the man is already Mitzorah. He's already declared a Mitzorah 5 years ago. And a lot of the Tzaras cleared up. And it's a Safek whether we should declare him as Tahar. should we declare him as tohar or not? So then the Mishnah says, Sofik tzaras betchila, should we get a coin to declare him as a tamei? So if it's Sofik betchila, you don't declare him as tamei. But if he already was declared as tamei, because he was a mitzora, now the question is, did it heal sufficiently? And did he do enough in order to be declared as tohar? So then if you're not sure, so you leave him where he is, you leave him tamei, and you're not mitar him, he's Sofik. How is it ever possible there's a Mishnah in Nazir? Mishnah talks about a person who's a Sofik Mitzorah, Sofik Gedim Mitzorah. How can be a Sofik Mitzorah? If it's the Rishonim Estekasha, the Tosfos HaRosh on the side of the page Estekasha. If it's Betchilo, so you don't declare the Mitzorah as Tomei. And if he already was declared as Tomei, it's a Sofik whether you should declare him as Tohar. You don't declare as Tomei. So it's going to be, either he's going to be Tohar Vadei or Tomei Vadei. How can you have Dinim in the Mishnah about a person who's a Sofik Mitzorah? Sofik Gedim Mitzorah doesn't exist.
Could have been that a Kohen proclaimed one of two people and then Mesupik which one he proclaimed.
Okay, that's one way. Okay, that's one explanation. And then also the Kevin Ari says the following answer to Taisus says Takasha on Nazir. The Taisus is Shanim. I think Taisu Arush. Taisu Arush has Takasha on the bottom of the page. So the Kevin Ari answer is like this. Let's say there's a person who has Simone Tuma. We're not sure. But the color, we're not sure whether we should declare Mistami. So the din is the Taharo, or the Thomas says first Letaharo. So you do not declare him as Tomei. What if the Kohen went ahead and he did declare him as Tomei? So what's the status? If the Kohen declares me as Tomei, I don't have any Simone too. I don't become Tomei just because he declares me. If I have Simone Tume, then, and the Kohen declares me as Tomei, then I become Tomei. But if it's a Sufik, whether I have the Simone Tume, so the Kohen should not have declared me as Tomei. But if he goes ahead and he does declare, then I'll be a Sufik Tomei, Sufik Tor. So that's what the Mishnayos are talking about. A person, there was a Sofik, whether you should declare him as Tomei. And the Kohen went ahead, Shaloi Kedin, and he said, Tomei Ato. So that's a Sofik. If the Simani Tuma are present, if you consider the Simani Tuma as valid, then it'll be Tomei. But we're not sure that the Simani Tuma are valid. The Pasuk says that after the Mitzorah heals, after it disappears, so it says, "B'yasha mechutz lohalo shivas yamim," and the Mishnah calls that Yemei Sfira. He has to count, maybe we all call it Shiva Nekim, has to count 7 days, and then he brings Kabbanos at the end of the 7 days. So the Tanoim understand, mechutz lohalo, a base of Zawishtoi, mechutz lohalo, like after Maimon Hasina was over, 3 days before Maimon Hasina, they were told, Atiksha Alisha. And then it was a Dovash of Minyan, even though it was understood Atik Shalisha because the Maimon Hasina is coming. So it should have been understood that after Maimon Hasina was over, they're Mutabidim Shaseim. So the Gemara says in the first Perek in Beitza, no, Dovash of Minyan, Tzoch Minyanach Alatira. That's a Din Deraisa. So the Baruch Shalom had to say after Maimon Hasina was over, Vatoshuv Alechem Yolechem. Everybody is permitted to go back to their wives. So Hol Zawishta in that Pasuk. Here also, Vyosha Mechutz Lohaloi, Hol Zawishta that the Mitzur, the Mei Sfira, is also B'tashmish Amita. What about the whole time before the Shivas Yamim, when he was Tomei Vadai, when he had Tumas Tzaras? So I think that's Machlekes HaTanaim. I think it's in the first Perek in Moed Katan. Do you say it's a Kal V'chaimer? If he may Sfiro, he's also B'tashmish Amita. Certainly the whole time that he was a Mitzura. Or do you say no? He's only also B'tashmish Amita in the 7 Shivas he may Sfiro. Then part of the Taharas HaMetzorah is he has to shave off all the hair on his body. And it says he has to shave off also Gabaseinu. He has to shave off his eyebrows. And see that the eyebrows is considered hair. So I think in Eben Ezer, they quote the din that the married women have to cover the hair. So the shaila is all the hair on the head they have to cover. So that they have to wear the tichel down below their eyebrows. So the common meaning is that the women do not cover their eyebrows. Even the most observant women don't cover them. So I think the Beis Shmuel, if I'm not mistaken, maybe it's a Magen Avraham. Maybe it's a Magen Avraham in Hilchos Kriyas Shema, where it says you're not allowed to recite Kriyas Shema Keneged Erva. So if there's a married woman that didn't cover her hair, that's considered Keneged Erva. So maybe the Magen Avraham quotes the Maharam Al Shakar. He says, but what about Gabbas Einayim? You see by the Mitzorah that's considered Dino Kiseyar. And he has to shave it off. So by the married women, we should say that's Dina Kisei. So he says, the answer is, whatever is darka legalo, he says, not ma'ara taiva. So that's muta. So then the question is, so what if your minigam makam is that the women never cover their hair at all? Whatever is darka legalo is not ma'ara taiva. What if it's a nudist colony and they walk around undressed and nothing is ma'ara taiva? So you have to say that there's a limit to certain parts of the body of ma'ara taiva, even if nobody's covering their body. So that's a question. How much of the hair do you say they're permitted? So the gabasei nehem that were mekel. What about if the minigam makam is that they just wear a tichel from the middle of the head and the whole front of the head and the side, everything is sticking out. How much can you allow out? So Moshe Weinstein has a tshuva. He thinks tefach al tefach. It's an awful lot. Tefach al tefach, up until the tefach is okay. Tefach b'isha erva, that you shouldn't do. The mitzvah, when he becomes tohar, has to bring part of his, he's called Mechusar Kippurim. The Mishnah, there's, the name of the second parak increases, it's parak Abba Mechusar Kippur. A person whose tummy has to go to mikveh. Sometimes they go to mikveh the same day, sometimes they meet Shivan Akim, they go to mikveh after a week, and sometimes they have to wait longer. So after they go to mikveh, they're tohar, they're permitted to eat Maisa Sheni. You're not allowed to eat Maisa Sheni. Lobiyatam men and bitomi are not permitted to consume Maisa Sheni in a state of tumah. But once you went to the mikveh, even if you did not have shemesh, you're permitted to eat Maisa Sheni. But if a kohen wants to eat truma, then he has to have harav shemesh. And what if the person wants to eat kochim? So it's not enough that he's tovel in the mikveh and he had harav shemesh. If he's fun, one of the abba mechusi kapar, zab zabi, or lettuce and mitzayra, then he has to bring the korbanos, and only after bringing the korbanos, that's the completion of the tahara procedure, and then he's permitted to eat kochim. So the Hashem Mitzorah is for the Mitzorah, that he's a Mechusi Kippurim, till he brings the Hashem Mitzorah. So the Gemara in the first parak in Yevamis mentions one of the Yud Gimel Midrash alternative Reshes Bam, that's in the Braisa, printed in the city before Baruch Shamar. Some of those midrashot and reshes bam never appear in the Gemara anywhere. They all appear in the Torah's Kohanim, but some of them never appear in the Gemara. The Gemara never gives an example. This one does. The Gemara does have an example. Hashem Mitzor is a yotzer lidim b'davar hachodesh. Why is it? What does it mean, davar hachodesh? So Tosfos says, davar hachodesh doesn't mean a new din that you would never dream up on your own. Every din in the Torah is a davar chodesh. We would never think, most of the dinim in the Torah are davar chodesh. Some of the ben adam lachaveris we would think of on our own, but all the mitzvahs ben adam hamokim, we would never think of those on our own. But that's not davar chodesh. Davar chodesh means tesis, right? It's davar hasoses hakalam. I think it's dav zayin and dav ches. Davar chodesh means an exception to the rule. Normally, dam kachim is reserved to be zorek on the mizbeach. By Hashem Mitzori, you take the dam of the korban, you do matan ba'enis, alban yoda haymanis, alban ragla haymanis, al tuno chazna haymanis. So that's a davar chodesh, that's davar hasoyser is haklal. What else the Gemara say is a chidush? The Gemara says davar hachodesh is the same as chidush. Chidush, the Gemara says, eid zaymim is a chidush. Because usually trey, my chos is the sam chasahani, smokahani. Trey is a suffix. You don't know who's telling the truth and who's lying. But if second kat is mazim in the first kat, so the eid zaymim is a chidush that you believe the second kat. It's an exception to the rule. The rule should have been trey is a sveike. And when you have hazameh, then it's a chidush that you don't treat it as a suffix. So that's what Tosfos says. Mechidush le'afina. The Gemara has chidush is a technical term. Chidush only means a davar hasoyses haklal, something that's an exception to the rule. Then the parsha continues with the dinim of tzaraz batim. Tzaraz batim says in chumash only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Tzaraz begodim and tzaraz by people applies to Jewish people, but it applies in Chutz Laretz also. But Tzaraz Batim only applies in Eretz Yisrael. And the Mefarshim explained, Eretz Yisrael has a high level of Kedusha, so that's why you have this din of Tzaraz Batim. It doesn't apply at all in Chutz Laretz. Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara said, there's more Hashgacha Pratis, the Pasuk says, Eni Hashem Alekecha Ba Mireishes Hashana V'Arach Rishana, there's more Hashgacha Pratis. So Tzaraz Batim is something that's Min HaShemayim. It's not B'derech HaTeva at all. So it's brought about with this special high degree of Hashgacha Pratis. The Gemara has in Sanhedrin and Machlokes Satanan, one Tana is of the opinion that the conditions that are necessary for Tzaraas Batim are so far-fetched. Tzaraas Batim lo hoya v'lo asad lios. There never was and there never will be. They're too complicated ever to have all of those conditions. Why is Lama Nichtava? Why did the Torah write it? The Gemara says, Drosh v'kabal schar. What does it mean, Drosh v'kabal schar? We have, it takes 7.5 years to make the Siyam on the Daf Yomi. So how much is there about Tzaraas Batim? 2 or 3 Prokem and Mishnah is not so much. So it'll take 3 days, take 3 days later, take 3 days earlier, and make the Siyam 3 days earlier. So what's Drosh V'Kal B'Schad? There's so many other Mesichtas, so many other Dinim. So one Tana, the other Tana disagrees, says, not true. I was once on a location touring, and they told me this was a Bais HaMenuga, and they knocked down the whole house. One Tana claims that Ben Tzora Mor, the conditions are so far-fetched, never was and never will be. Other Tana says, no, I was once in a cemetery, and they told me here is buried a Ben Tzora Mor. Why does one Tana hold the conditions are so far-fetched? So the Gemara explains, because the parents have to have the same facial features and the same voice and the same weight and the same height, everything the same. How can it be? A man has a woman's voice, a woman has a man's voice, and the parents have to be meshugaf toit, which parents would bring, even if they have a rotten child, which parents will bring the child to the bezin and say, we want you to give him Misa, Misa's bezin to the Ben Tzora Mor. The whole thing is so far-fetched. So one Tana says that it never was and never will be. Yeah, and one Tana claims that Irani Dachas never was and never will be. How can it be a city in Eretz that doesn't even have one mezuzah? If you have one mezuzah, it says, Saraft, is called Shlala Beish. You have to burn everything in the city. The Gemara says, if you have an Irani Dachas that has one mezuzah, it says, Matzel, the whole city. Whoever worshipped Avodah Zorah will get the death penalty, but you won't burn down the whole city. You won't give it the din of Irani Dachas. So that's a discussion. The Balatanya has a discussion. What do you mean, Drosh V'Kabal Schar? What does it mean, Drosh V'Kabal Schar? So he says, I think that the Torah is a Moshal Akadmain. It's a description of Elokus. So all the aspects of Elokus can be described derech Moshal. The Torah, all the mitzvahs and the Torah, all the Targum mitzvahs are Moshal, the different aspects of Elokus. We can't understand Elokus, we can't understand a Moshe of Elokus. So there is a Moshe of a Moshe of a Moshe of a Moshe of Elokus, but there's certain aspects of Elokus that you can't even give a Moshe of a Moshe. So these possibly 1 or 2 or 3 mitzvahs, the Bais HaMenuga, but the Rani Dachas, but the Ben Tzora Mor, represent certain aspects of Elokus that it's simply impossible to lead out in real life, to act out in real life what these are supposed to represent. When you have a Bais HaMenuga, so it says you have to take the Avonim Shebehen HaNega El Michutz Lo'ir. If you have a person who's a Mitzvah, so he's not allowed to enter Yoros HaMakof is Chayma. But if you have a Bais HaMenuga, an Eben HaMenugas, the Rasha Mishnais quotes at the Sefta, not only are Yoros HaMakof is Chayma, even any other regular city. You're allowed to leave it in a Sada, but an Ir in Eretz Yisrael has a higher level of Kedusha than the farms and the fields and everything. So it doesn't have the same level of Kedusha as Ayaris HaMakaf Yishchai Moshe Shur Benun, where another Mitzvah is not allowed to enter, but it has a higher level of Kedusha than the farms and the rest of Eretz Yisrael. It's Takakasha, I'll come in the Mishnah in the first Perek in Kalim when it says, Esa Kedusha, saying lists of the 10 levels of Kedusha, Eretz HaMakudash is Mikol HaRotza Shemim Vimena HaEmer Shtei Alechem. Then it says, Ayaris HaMakaf Yishchai Moshe have a higher level of Kedusha. And Yerushalayim has a higher level of Kedusha. And Harabais has a higher level of Kedusha. It lists off all the Esek Kedusha. Why doesn't it say Ayoris should there itself have a higher level of Kedusha? Ayoris have more Kedusha than the farms, but less Kedusha than Ayoris HaMakaf Yishchaimah. Why isn't it mentioned there? That's a strong question. But that's what the Rasha Mishnais quotes that from the Tesefta, that it says, you take the Aven HaMenugas, Michutz Lo'ir, goes on any ear. Rav Soloveitchik said over in the name of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, a chiddush. The Mishnah says in the end of Zvachim Bizman that there was a heter bamis. Bizman heter bamis, so you were allowed to bring korbanos anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. So all of Eretz Yisrael had the din like Yerushalayim. You would make a bama wherever you want, and then you can eat the kochim kalim wherever you want. B'chol Ari Yisrael, Mishnahs, Kachim Kalim Nechalim B'chol Ari Yisrael. So Moshe Soloveitchik had a suggestion, B'chol Ari Yisrael, but you can't, if it's a farm, you can't. There wouldn't be a hetabama on a soda, only inside a city. The cities have more kedusha than the farmland in Eretz Yisrael. That's questionable. Why should it be so? Usually the cities are the source of all the decadence. That's where you have all the prostitutes. That's where you have all of the movies, and you have the theaters, and you have all the apikursim. Shaila is the farm should be holier than the cities. Why did the cities have a holier? That's a question. But that's where Moshe Soloveitchik taught. Then it says that Kachin Kalim is Nachalim B'chol Ari Yisrael, is literally B'chol Ari Yisrael, only the cities and not the farms. Similar to along the lines of this Rash over here, that the Rebbe and Hamarugas, you have to remove Mechutz La'ir, even if it's not a near Hamukef Eschaim and Moshe Shobinu.
But say maybe this Tana held like the Mandamo that the Hoy V'Lo'iliyah, so it's Melech not Mageya.
Could also be. Could also, that's why he didn't mention it. Could also be possible. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. This Shabbos, I'm going to give the shir in the yeshiva on Shabbos morning on the parsha, so I'll continue. Whoever's going to be in the neighborhood is invited to come. After Musaf, I'll give a brief shir before the Suda and talk about the rest of the Seder. A lot of more dinim, a lot of famous dinim in the Seder. Okay, everyone should have a good Shabbos. Should all be healthy.
Good Shabbos. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Midrashim would say that the Zion woman hid treasures in the houses, and that's when the Jews discovered them and they had to take them down because of Saras.
Yeah, the Midrash says that it's a taiva for the Jewish people. Yeah, that it did happen.
That did happen.
It did happen. It was a good thing, and the Rabbi Shalom caused it to happen. It would be good for the Jews. Those Midrashim disagree. Yeah. Those two opinions disagree. That is correct. Yeah. That is correct.
Have good Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Go ahead. Rabbi, a question, please. If someone is adopted and then they find out who their biological mother is, and she passes away, and both the biological mother and the adopted mother are Jewish, does he sit Shiva?
We usually assume that he should sit Shiva. There's a big Talmud Chacham in Milwaukee. I think his name is Senderovich. So he just published, I think recently, a volume of Shadis HaTshuvas and Chelek Yerideya. So he talks about this. He presents an argument why perhaps there's no obligation to observe Shiva if the child had no contact at all with the birth mother. Because observing Avelis is supposed to depend on whether you have feelings for that individual. So if you have no feelings at all, they gave up the child for adoption and they had no connection at all. So there's room to argue the point and to say that maybe there's no Avelis. But it's usually assumed that there is Avelis. A Chiddush, he writes himself. It's a Chiddush.
All right. Thank you very much, Rabbi. Good Shabbos.
Very good. Be well. Aguten Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos, Rabbi.
A good Nisham is you too. Trying to figure out how to close this. I don't know how this works. Okay. Shai.